Summer at the Little French Guest House by Helen Pollard, read by Jess Nesling for Saga Egmont. For Andrew and David, the best big brothers a girl could wish for. 1. The pounding on the guest house door sounded like a battering ram. Throwing myself out of bed with much toe-stubbing and cursing, I glanced at the clock on the dresser. 5:30 a.m. What the... I scrabbled in my cluttered top drawer for the key of the door that linked my quarters to Rupert's, only to be used in emergency. But when the next onslaught began, I gave up, grabbed a hoodie, and staggered out through my private entrance and around the outside of the building. Believe me, gravel is not an ideal surface for bare feet. I would have gone back for flip-flops, but I was desperate to stop the violence on the door. My heart stuttered in my chest as I rounded the corner to see that the racket was being perpetrated by a gendarme. What was wrong? Who had been hurt? Had I only imagined hearing Rupert's return from the UK late last night? Had something happened with that wretched ex-wife of his? Had he been in an accident? I looked across the courtyard and whooshed out a sigh of relief when I saw his estate car, although I wasn't sure why it had a tarp thrown over it. The gendarme's fists were raised, ready to knock again. "Arrêtez, s'il vous plaît!" I waved madly at him as I painfully ooched and ouched my way towards him, eventually stepping blissfully onto the smooth doorstep. "Can I help you?" I asked in my best French. Despite living in France for almost a year now, I'd had little experience with gendarmes, but I presumed it was best not to mess with them. He was middle-aged and portly, with a poker face that fell by degrees as he took in my shorty pyjamas, bed hair, and bare feet, then glanced at the corner I'd appeared from. No doubt he was wondering why I hadn't opened the door like a normal person and saved my feet from laceration. At that time in the morning and that stage of caffeine intake, nil, my French wouldn't stretch to explaining. In rapid French he began to interrogate me. Who was I? Why I was there? Did I know Monsieur Rupert Hunter? And if so, where was he? Alarmed, I tried to formulate a coherent response, but I was mercifully saved when the door opened and Rupert stuck his head out. He looked dishevelled, unshaven, his wavy silver hair uncombed, a bathrobe half thrown on over boxers.
"Emmy, what's going on?"
The gendarme didn't wait for me to reply but repeated his interrogation, and when Rupert confirmed that he was indeed the hunted party, the diatribe lengthened. Rupert looked shell-shocked. But I watched as enlightenment dawned. Thank God he knew what this was about. All I could gather was that something or someone had been abandonné. Rupert invited our visitor in, took him into the kitchen, and got to work at his state-of-the-art coffee machine to placate him with a strong espresso. It did the trick. The law upholder thawed with each sip as Rupert launched into a lengthy explanation, something to do with the car and tyres. I didn't tax my brain by trying to follow, since I intended to get the English version shortly. Rupert propped his broad frame, leaner nowadays, against the counter as he spoke, occasionally scrubbing at his close-cropped grey beard as he sought an explanation that would soothe rather than inflame. Seemingly satisfied, our uniformed friend departed with stern words. I rounded on Rupert. "What was all that about? Why did you get home so late last night? Why are we being visited by a gendarme?" Ignoring me, Rupert set to again at the coffee machine, delivering the goods into my shaking hands and slurping his own as though his life depended on it. We sat at the large pine table and I gave him a questioning look.
"We had an incident on the way home," he declared.
"What kind of incident? Did you crash the car? Why is it covered up?" He glared balefully at me.
"Are you going to continue firing questions at me, or are you going to listen?"
"Sorry."
"The trailer had a tyre blowout. We had to limp it along to a lay-by."
"I told you that trailer's too old."
"And I told you that Bob and I thoroughly checked it over. Just because something's getting on a bit doesn't mean it's no use to anybody, Emmy. We overloaded it, that's all."
"Didn't you have a spare?"
"We did. We changed it, but it must have had a leak we hadn't noticed."
"What about breakdown cover?"
"It turns out I'm not covered for towing, only for the car."
I closed my eyes. "You didn't think to check before you set off?"
"Check the insurance. Didn't think to check the breakdown cover."
"So where's the trailer now?"
"That was what our friend came about. We had to leave it where it was."